I love smoking. I started late. I was 19 years old. And I knew at the time that it was bad for you and that it was addictive, but I was arrogant and ignorant, and I wanted to try it. When I was in the Forest Service, I was a firefighter, and my fire boss chewed Skoal Wintergreen. And so I asked if I could try it, and I had some. It was delicious. It got me a little high. Not like lightheaded, but more of a like a soaring. It was great. One of my firefighting friends was from North Carolina, and he had some homegrown, home-cured leaf tobacco in baggies, and he gave me some, and it was amazing. Best chewing tobacco I've ever had. I moved on to Copenhagen brand, which is like black volcanic sand. It comes in a cool wax paper can with a stamped steel lid. I developed some motions with chewing that I thought were cool, like transgressive rituals. Like packages so, places so, shake it off so, spit. With a disinterested calm that was like the dream of forward momentum and multitasking success. After a while, I moved to San Francisco, and it was there that I became concerned about the sores in my mouth, and I was worried about mouth cancer and throat cancer, so I decided I should quit chewing. Now, it's easy enough to throw away a one-third can of Copenhagen, but after 3 or 4 hours, you start to understand better what addiction is all about. I think it was, somebody said, nothing worth knowing can be taught, and I had learned about addiction, that it was like a strong craving that's really hard to get around of it. You can't stop thinking about it, but after 3 or 4 hours, it was not like a craving. It was more of a panic, like a cold desperation, and I tried quitting chewing several times to no avail. Each time I'd buy a new can. So I came up with this idea of transferring my addiction delivery from chewing to smoking. It's a lot harder than you might think. I was smoking, and it eventually started working, and I went from failure to success. Nasty, harsh, stinking, gulping down cigarettes, and I was curing my craving, but I needed to fold in some of that cool elan that I had with the chewing ritual. So I would hold the cigarette just so, or I'd light it just so, place it in my lips just so. And it became a sort of functional, sensual performance, and who doesn't need some of that in their life? Such a normal thing, I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, but I liked Camel cigarettes because they were featured in this book that I really liked by Tom Robbins, and they go in at length about the Camel and the pyramids that are so famous on the pack. I started smoking Camel squares, like filterless cigarettes, because I like Jack Kerouac and deep poetry. It's so cool. I smoked Pall Mall straights, so filterless. That's what Kurt Vonnegut smoked. And it was a carton of those that I took with me when I hitchhiked through Alaska, or through Canada up to Alaska. It was better than currency. You could get a ride from somebody, flip them a pack of Pall Malls, and they would smile. Canadians are way more serious about taxing cigarettes than we are. I was north of the Yukon border, and I was hitchhiking, and they closed the border, and there's no more traffic until the morning. That's just, so I'm standing there, I decided to sleep. So in that spirit of desperation, I took any ride. I got into a van, against my better judgment, driven by a drunk husband and wife couple. And they had a can of tobacco and a box of tubes with filters, And they didn't want my Pall Malls. They wanted me to make cigarettes for them. So I stuffed tobacco in the cigarette gun and shot it into these tubes while I was like creaming back and forth on this lonely blacktop in Yukon Territory. I smoked Commanders, which are this weird retro brand, like World War II, really cool packaging. I smoked Dunhills, which are made by appointment of Her Majesty the Queen. Feature an oval shape that fits better in the lips. I smoked Galois, which Henry Miller smoked when he lived in Paris. I learned to roll my own, which only further enforced my movement lust. Like Vincent in Pulp Fiction, I smoked drum rollies, which were the best. When I had kids, I smoked American Spirits. Now, I believe that American Spirit cigarettes are made by a coalition of Native American farmers that use better than normal or even organic farming techniques. And they were more expensive, but American Spirit cigarette lasted 10 minutes and a Marlboro lasted 5 to 7 minutes. So. And I knew kind of that as I was smoking organic cigarettes, I was really pushing my luck. I was trying to quit. Quitting smoking is a lot like self-flagellation. It's like good, it's painful, but for a good cause. I quit smoking dozens of times, sometimes 6 or 7 times, like for more than 2 weeks, a couple times for more than a year. When I was going through the divorce of my first wife, I looked for, we didn't smoke at the time, but I looked forward to both the divorce and smoking again. My last cigarette was in November of 2017, and I was glad. I was taking Chantix, and what that does is it blocks the nicotine through your nicotine uptake receptors in your brain. And what you do is you take the Chantix, and you continuously smoke like normal. After 3 or 4 days, you're getting no nicotine, you're going through withdrawals, and all you're getting is carbon monoxide, stink, and headaches, and suffocation. I had to learn the hard way. I'm a bit arrogant, and I think that everybody, every day, has to take in a little bit of horseshit. And I could take in a little bit of horseshit, and I could stand back and smoke, and I could control it, but I was wrong. Smoking, for me, is a forbidden fruit, and I'm done with it. From here on out, I'll just try to breathe a little bit better. Thank you.